You'll find our scripture reading this morning, please, in the Old Testament book of Zephaniah. He's one of the pre-exilic prophets, and he's prophesying in the days before the captivity, when the nation was taken away down into Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, we read these words. And these are the words of the Lord spoken to Judah and Jerusalem prior to the captivity. And through the prophet he saith, woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing or the impenitent city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. And she drew not near to her God. And may the good Lord bless to our hearts the reading of his precious word. Zephaniah chapter 3, and verse number 1 and 2, please. Now, while you're finding the place, thank you for coming out this morning. Thank you for the invitation to be with you. And we pray that the message will come to our hearts with power and with freshness, and that we will hear the voice of our God speaking to us in these days. Zephaniah 3 and verse 1 and 2. I want to speak to you this morning on four knots to avoid. And the word knot is spelled N-O-T. Four knots to avoid. That's the title of the message. And we pray indeed that the message will come to our hearts with power. And indeed that we will do something concerning these four knots. Zephaniah was God's messenger to Jerusalem just prior to the captivity. He was a pre-exilic prophet. And undoubtedly, little time lapsed between his prophecy and the fall of the city of Jerusalem. Perhaps more than 2 to 3 years. So the prophet is speaking to the inhabitants of the city. And he is speaking to the city of the possibility of avoiding and averting the coming disaster. But it is a breakdown of the dire situation that brought it about, in which we find him writing. He's speaking of the coming judgment. And he's not simply trying to warn them that it's coming, because the city itself has turned away backward from the worship of the true and the living God. And I want you to notice God's assessment of Jerusalem in verses 1 and chapter, and in verses 4, 5, and 6. Let's read them together. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. Verse 4. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light, and he faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. He says, I have cut off nations. Their towers are desolate. I have made their streets waste. that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man and there is none inhabitant. Here's God, he's looking upon the city of Jerusalem, the city of the great king. He speaks of this city as filthy and polluted, rebellious and gluttonous, and then proceeds to explain and enlarge upon that description. And in so doing, he gives four reasons for the catastrophe and the calamity that is about to fall upon the city of Jerusalem because of its sin. Notice what he saith in verse 2. She, the city of Jerusalem, obeyed not the voice. Whose voice? Which voice? The voice of God speaking to her through his prophets, which he had sent to her time and time again. And through the message and the truth of the message that he had sent to those through those prophets, she obeyed not the voice. Now there's the first reason why the judgment came upon Jerusalem. She obeyed not the voice of God. Secondly, she received not correction, or the word may be translated instruction. What correction? What instruction? The very positive correction that causes, through the word of God's messenger, the prophets, pointing out their waywardness, their backsliding, and teaching her the way back to God from the dark paths of sin. That correction and instruction she received not. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. Look at the third point. She trusted not in the Lord. Which Lord? The Lord Jehovah himself. The one who is the great I am that I am. He's the Lord of covenant relationship, which had been made. But that great and wonderful city had turned away from God. That great and wonderful city, which was the joy of the whole earth. But she had gone over to trust foreign powers, playing one off against the other. And like a scheming and diplomat, she was playing at politics, seeking political position, political power, political place. And she was going her own way. And this is what happens when we turn away from trusting God. And we see something similar in our own age today, don't we? We see politicians speaking out against one another, parading their own goodness and their own moral standing, playing off one against the other. And men forget, it's God to whom they have to give answer to in a day to come. For our God, whether you believe it or not, is still the moral ruler and governor of his universe. And it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. But note what God saith through the prophet. She drew not near to her God. Why not? How not? because the sanctuary was neglected. And the life of true worship of the true and living God was abandoned. They had begun to worship the images and the idols of the Baals. And God is going to punish them. He's going to send judgment upon him. And Nebuchadnezzar came down like a wolf upon the sheep and the lambs of the flock and scattered them and led them away in chains into captivity. Ah, but he did something else. He raided the holy sanctuary of God. And he took the holy vessels of the sanctuary. And they were soon transported to Babylon. And they were placed in pagan titles in that far off city. Because Judah and Jerusalem drew not near to her God. Brethren and sisters, it is easy for a man to speak up and to speak out against sin. Especially in these perilous times. When everyone wants to do that which is right in his or her own eyes. And what are we seeing today? In our nation, that was founded upon the very scriptures of God's word, our Holy Bible. And now the teachings of our Bible, God's holy word, inspired, inerrant, infallible, indestructible, and eternal, are being cast to the side. And the teaching today is, we no longer need the Bible. We have advanced beyond the Bible. We no longer need the moral and spiritual teachings of the Bible. We can go our own way. We can do our own thing. We have gone beyond the Bible. But my dear friend, you can't go beyond the God of the Bible. Our God still rules and reigns upon the throne of the universe. And he's still alive. And as we were just singing, our Lord is now rejected and by the world is owned. By the many still neglected and by the few enthroned. But still he'll come in power. And that hour is drawing nigh. Yes, the crowning day is coming by and by. And please remember this, that God hath given unto his Son the power to judge this world. And for this reason, God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent, to turn from their sins and trust Christ, for he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised his Son from the dead, and Jesus is coming again to rule and to reign in righteousness. What a solemn indictment we find in these words. My dear, the solemn judgment of God is coming upon this old world, whether you like it or not. Because we are now living in an age when we no longer need the teachings of the Bible. And there is no judgment to come. Well, you can deny the truth that there's no judgment to come. But there's one thing that you can't deny. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. If you don't want judgment, then refuse to die. And you can run to the doctors. And you can take potions and medicines. And herbal remedies. And all the rest. To help you to extend your life. But I want to tell you, my dear friend, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. For it is appointed unto man once to die. Then the judgment. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Hence the call in these days to repentance. And oh, that our people would listen again to the word of God. Oh, that they might show repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But friends, that's just the first step. That's the first step. And revival coming to our land. And God blessing our land. Man turning away from sin. It's when we confess our sins. But then listen, my dear friends, we don't need only to forsake our sins, to be sorry for our sins, but then it's to quit it. And look to God by his Spirit to help us to walk godly lives, holy lives, that will glorify God as we become a new creation and old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. But let's get back to our text just now. Here's the reason why judgment came upon what God calls a polluted and impenitent city. And the focus of the fury of God's judgment fell upon this faithless and filthy city. And let me tell you, dear friends, judgment is coming. And all the signs of the time are pointing to that time when God will come again in righteousness, in judgment, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and believe not the truth. Now watch these verses, or these phrases in verse 2. She obeyed not the voice. You know what she did, my dear friends? She stifled conscience. Stifled conscience. Is it possible to stifle your conscience? Yes, it is. When you know what to do is right, and you turn away from doing what is right, and when you turn away from going contrary to the teachings of God's word, you'll not only stifle your conscience, my dear friend, you can sear your conscience like a hot iron. And oh, the seared consciences of men and women today. And it causes me to tremble, when I think of the judgment that's coming and upon our nation. Oh, that we would obey the voice of our God. But listen, my dear friend, she obeyed not the voice. You can refuse to obey God's voice. But remember this, that for all of it, know ye this, that God will bring you into judgment. For our God is a holy God, and he hates sin and iniquity. And he will not bypass the unrighteousness and the sinfulness and the wretchedness of men. But watch something else. She received not correction. You see, my dear friend, not only do we see the conscience stifled, but we see truth spurned. Truth is spurned. Here's God's old book, and it's God's word. And the cry today is, we will not have this book to rule our lives and to show us which direction we should go and how we should walk. The teachings of this whole book are spurned, and men are doing that which is right in their own eyes, and they're determined to do it. We will not live by the teachings of God's word. We have advanced far beyond the teachings of God's word. My dear friends, listen. We will guide our lives. We will live our lives according to our own ways and our own laws. And who is the God that will tell us to do otherwise? It's the God of this old book. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, my dear friends, heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Not one tittle of it. And you see, my dear friend, those who spurn the truth of this book and living according to their own dictates, their own tastes, their own immoral lives. Let me tell you, my dear friends, for all of that, God will bring you into judgment. And God will not judge you by your own man-made laws. God will judge you by the laws and the moral teachings of this book. Great old book we have, you know. Shows us when we're wrong. And shows us when we're right. And it will be for our blessing, our eternal good, if we obey the book, the word of the living God. But watch it now. She obeyed not the voice. Conscience was stifled. She spurned the truth. We will not have the teachings of this book to lead us and to guide us and to direct us in life as to how we should worship the true and living God through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ah, but listen, my dear friends. She trusted not in the Lord. Which Lord? Why, the Lord Jehovah. The I am that I am. You see, this old book that I have in my hand now, it's the King James authorized version of the Scriptures of Truth. And I love this old book. And I read from no other Bible, no other book, but this one. Now you can have your own choice, but you allow me to have mine. This is the old book that God hath blessed in our nation down through the years. Nearly 500 years now, 5 centuries. And this old book still lives. Now you notice this. She trusted not in the Lord. Now take your time with the word. Notice how it's spelled. Each letter is in the capital case. L-O-R-D. And in your old King James Bible, your old authorized version, when you see the word, the name Lord, written in the capital case, you know it's Jehovah. Or the modern day translation, Yahweh. The I am that I am, the eternal God. Ah, well, let me tell you, my dear friend, they trusted not. They turned to idols. and they were offering sacrifices to images in the groves and on the high hills and other places. They didn't trust in the Lord for their blessing, for their safety, for their security. And because they turned away from God, God brought this pagan nation to judge them and to lead them into captivity until they learned that the one true God still lives and rules in this universe of ours. And God will do it in a day to come, my dear friend. Don't you worry about that one moment. We're on the victory side, you know. You see, we are living in days, and I'm going to digress a wee bit. We are living in days, you know, when we're seeing the second coming of Sodom. We are living in days when the Noahite nightmare is upon us. Judgment is about to break. And we are living in the days of the Thessalonian threat. God will send strong delusion upon all those who reject him and spurn his word. He'll send them strong delusion that they will believe the lie. The lie of the coming Antichrist. My dear friend, that tells me that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to take the true bride out, the true church out, is not far away. Keep looking up. Our redemption is draweth nigh. As a matter of fact, it's nearer than when we first believed. Now watch this. She obeyed not the voice. Conscience was stifled. She spurned the truth. Faith was shipwrecked. She trusted not in the Lord. The I Am, the Lord of covenant relationship, which he had made with that wonderful city, the joy of the whole earth. But my dear friend, she had turned away from her trust in God to trust in man. And when you turn away from God and put your faith in princes or politicians or powers, you're depending upon a broken stick. My dear friends, thank God my faith and my trust are in God's dear Son for all eternity. And I need no other argument, and I seek no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Now watch the last little phrase in verse 2. She drew not near to her God. Now be careful with the words. The Lord, the I Am, the Jehovah, was their God. He was Elohim, the mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. But they didn't draw nigh to their God. You see, communion was severed. We're getting a picture. And the things which were written in the days of Zephaniah were written for our instruction and for our learning, that we through the scriptures might have encouragement and that we might have hope. The Lord warned the nation, or warned Judah and Jerusalem of the coming judgment in that bygone day. And in the New Testament scriptures, God is warning the people of a coming judgment. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. and oh, that men would turn from their evil ways, from their wicked ways, and turn again to the Lord, and he'll hear from heaven, and he'll come in with divine blessing. But there's a day of judgment coming. And instead of men during the great tribulation period and this time of judgment, the time of Jacob's trouble, instead of them calling upon the name of the Lord, where do we find them calling? On the name of the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, for the great day of his judgment has come. Can you imagine that? Men calling upon inanimate objects to cover them from the wrath of the Lamb and of God? There's no answer to that. Oh, my dear friend, that we would get into the secret place and spend time with Jesus alone and call on to him. You remember the Apostle Peter? Let me use this as an illustration. Christ is coming, walking to them on the troubled waters. He makes himself known to them. And of Peter, in a fit of bravado, he leaped out of the boat saying, "Lord, bid me come to thee upon the waters." And the Lord says to him, "Come, Peter." But what happened? Peter looked at the turbulence around him, and he began to sink. And then he prayed, and he cried, "Lord, save me." And immediately the Lord saved him. In such a time, to whom else could he turn to? To the idols? To images? And friend, in these days of universal upheaval, chaos, catastrophe, disasters, political uneasiness, and men don't know where to turn to, I'll tell you who to turn to. Turn to the Lord. But the very sad thing is this, that very few are turning to him. They're looking for a man. Yeah. From the powers that be. Instead of looking to the Lord, they're looking for a man. Aye, and God will give them a man. He'll be the man of sin. And he lead them to destruction. Friends, what a horrible thing happened here. Conscience is stifled. God's truth is spurned. Faith is shipwrecked. And communion with God is severed. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Spent much time in secret with Jesus alone. And when we can do that, friends, we're on our way to victory and blessing. And we'll see wonderful things happen in our nation once again. Oh God, raise up unto us More mighty men like the Wesley brothers. More George Whitefield. More mighty evangelists who will preach with a thus saith the Lord, without fear or favour. To princes, to powers, to politicians, no matter who they are, preach Christ and Him crucified. Beloved, I'm going to have to finish, for I'm tired. But I want you to see something here. That God's speaking to people today through His Word. He gives us the disobedience. That is the way of backsliders. And then He gives us the description of backsliders. Filthy and polluted. And as we have seen in verse 2, we see the defiance of backsliders. They obey not. They receive not. They trust not. They don't draw nigh to God. And then you've got the degradation of backsliders. Oh, verse 3, her princes are as roaring lions. Their judges are as ravening wolves. Their prophets, their light, their airy fairy, their treacherous, and their priests. What are they? They are polluted and they're violent. But our God is just and holy and righteous. Amen. And He will not do iniquity, because He faileth not. And because our God doesn't fail, let me tell you, the teachings of this old book won't fail. Amen. God will bring to pass everything He has said in this word, and what He has promised to do, He is also able to perform. And the cry goes out to the individual, to our nation, to our leaders. Repent and believe the gospel and get back to the worship of the one true and living God, and to the living Word of God, the Scriptures of truth. I can tell you, my dear friends, men today and women today, they fear this book. And I'll tell you why they fear it. Because God will bring them into judgment. And God will not judge them by their own laws. He judges them by the teachings of this book and by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Friends, what an old book you have in your hand. There's none like it. It's God's word. It's God's sword. It's ever living. It's faithful and it's true. May God bless His word to our hearts. A moment's prayer, please. Blessed Lord Jesus, we thank You for the word of the living God. We pray indeed that You will teach Your people to wield Thy word like a sword. Lord, that we may be able to cut through the false teachings that abound on every hand today. Lord, just like one of King David's generals of old, as he defended the lentil patch from the enemies of God and God's people, Lord, the very hilt of the old sword embedded itself in the very palm of his hand, that when he prized his fingers open, the hilt still clove to his palm. It was embedded so deep, his arm and the sword became as one. The sword became an extension of his arm. O Lord, teach us your word. Lead us, guide us, instruct us by the Spirit of truth, the author of your word. Lord, we're at your feet. We are crying mightily to thee to save our nation. For Jesus is coming again, and he's coming soon. Save our loved ones. Save our wee boys and girls. Save the little burns, Lord. Many of them suddenly cut off through no fault of their own. God help us. This world is ripening and ever ripening for the coming judgment of our God. Help us, Lord, to be sheltering under the precious shed blood of the Lamb, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Here I stand, so help me God. I can do no other. Bless your word and bless your dear people here this morning. Separate us in your fear and with your blessing, for Christ's sake. Amen. And amen.